nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a heart.
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, Mother's Love Flowers. Open for Mother's Day 10 to 5 with Mother's Day hanging baskets, flower bags, and bedding plants. It's always sunny in the greenhouses at the Flower Farm. Open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
Money came by, and that's true love. Homegrown tomatoes.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with me today, live in the studio, Christine Sargent, and on the phone line, all the way from Juneau, Master Gardener Extraordinaire, Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Christine and Ed.
Afternoon.
Hi there.
Hi. Well, thanks for joining us. Ed, thanks for taking time out of your busy day, and Christine, you too. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
I came inside to dry off, so it's wet up here. And supposed to be wet through Saturday, Sunday, and then hopefully we're going to get some really nice gardening weather. So hopefully folks will get out and get to it.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, with the pouring down rain we had here a few days ago, we're welcoming any sort of reprieve from it so that we can get out and continue to weed. Well, I need to get all the weeds, really.
There's always more weeds.
Yeah.
That's right. Buttercups and chickweed and the little mustard and other assorted stuff is sprouting, growing vigorously. Some of them are blooming. I really, really need to get the ones out that are blooming now so they don't set seed. And then you've got just 10 times the problem for a little later in the summer and future years.
So, Ed, I invited Christine to join us today because she is the coordinator and the manager of the school and community garden behind the elementary school, and she wanted to talk a little bit about an event coming up on Saturday. I know you have an event on Saturday that you're involved in, too. So, and it's really nice, Ed, because you've been here a couple times and you know just what our garden looks like there at the school. So I'm sure you're picturing it. But Christine, why don't you let us know a little bit about what's coming up?
Okay, so what we're going to do is a community plant and seed exchange. And we figured, you know, this time of year, everyone's trying to get their seedlings started and all of their seeds planted. And, you know, most of us gardeners, you end up with, say, too many tomatoes but not enough peppers, or, you know, you ended up ordering a huge different variety of seeds because you were just so tempted by the seed catalog and realized you've got way more seeds than you have room to plant. And thought it'd be good to just get everyone together and bring all of their extras and trade them around.
That's a great idea.
I do some of the same thing when I hear somebody's starting some of this or that, and ask them, well, what have you got? And maybe we can swap. So that works for me, too. I just got some broccoli plants from one couple, and they took some cauliflower plants in trade. Works great for both of us.
Yeah, so we're gonna do that on Saturday morning from 10 to 12. And I've, you know, talked to several people, I think, that are going to show up with different plants and some different perennial thinnings. And hopefully we'll get a lot of interesting variety of things to trade.
That sounds great. So 10 to 12?
Yes.
Okay. And what about any help, you know, should we maybe bring our shovels and our gloves and do a little weeding and whatever?
Yeah, that was the other thing. While people are there, you know, we thought we'd just kind of try to get as much garden work as people would be able to do while everyone's there. We have a lot of tools and shovels and things like that at the garden, but if you have your gloves and, you know, your particular weeding tool that you're attached to or something, it'd be great to come on up, and we'll try to get as much cleaned out from the weeding and the school garden there. And we have a bed that we're trying to rebuild a little bit too, so there'll be a little hauling some soil and some other work to do as well.
I noticed there is there like a big pile of soil? What is that?
Yeah, so we use some of the garden funds we had last year from the Forest Service contract to buy soil. So we had Reed's Brothers delivered that, and we're slowly mixing it in with some of the earthworm casings we have from our earthworm bins and some compost up there, and using that to rebuild some new beds around for the hoop house and for along the sides of the fence rows. There's a couple of beds that are a little shallow. We want to kind of deepen up a little bit with the soil there.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. So you just bring your plants, bring your seedlings, perennial divides, and seeds.
Yeah, and anything like that. We have a lot of strawberry plants that we have that our strawberry bed's kind of been going crazy with runners, so we'll have those up there available for people to take. I think we'll have some sweet potatoes that I have left over. I'll be dividing some of my rhubarb. I think I've spoken to some people that might have some raspberry starts and some primrose divisions, maybe some irises. So I think there'll be a fair number of people bringing perennial divisions as well.
Okay. And I think there's probably mint up there at the garden, too.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of mint. You can always thin the mint patch up there.
Yeah, but buyer beware, right?
Yeah, put it in a pot, or it'll spread for you.
Okay, that sounds great.
Clearly, that's a good warning for buyers, or even if you're not buying, even if it's free.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a really, really good reason why it's free.
Yeah.
Over their garden. So, yeah, you want to interview the, check out the plants, of course, hopefully they're healthy, but also interview the person bringing them in, unless they told their significant other or somebody else, oh, take those and please give them away, don't bring them again. So you do want to be careful about some stuff that may become or may already be invasive. And it depends on your soil, too. If you're in really organic soil, some plants will just take off and grow and others will sit there. And that can change completely if you're in more sandy or gravelly conditions. So you really do want to be careful about what you bring home and look at them and, give them some space so that hopefully they don't grow into other plants. A good example of that is Bishop's Weed, which is the green and white variegated plant.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Makes a great ground cover as long as you don't ever want to plant anything there again, because it will last. Every little bit of root will last and sprout if you try to dig it up, and you dare not go to till the stuff. So comfrey is another one like that can be useful animal feed for healing, external healing, and stuff, but if you want to get rid of it, I'm having that issue at my place here. I've got a small patch of it that has grown, I think, because we cut roots and probably when digging up around it. So, yeah, do be careful about what you bring home.
Another one of those is, what is that low ground cover, like bleeding heart? What is that called? Is it just called bleeding heart, or is there another name for it?
Well, it is a Dicentra, which is bleeding heart genus, probably Formosa, which is a wild, if you're talking about the kind of pale pink flowering one.
Yes.
It is a wild ground cover in the Pacific Northwest underneath Douglas fir and hemlocks and spruce and all of that sort of thing, cedars. Very hard to be able to survive underneath there, and it does spread underground, and it can spread fairly rapidly. That's one I have had here in the past, and there isn't much left. The Bishop's Weed we're still fighting. Some of the others that, unfortunately, are still being sold, even at, maybe not your nurseries, but certainly at our nurseries in Juneau, there's something called Irish moss or Scotch moss, which is a terrible little tiny pest. Looks kind of like moss, but does have tiny little white flowers.
Yeah,
that seeds itself vigorously too and spreads like mad.
Well, I'll
so
be bringing
it's a perennial and a spreader, and you pull it up, and but there are seeds that are left behind. So, it's some of these things people sell, and I had that discussion with nursery people and say, well, yeah, for the right places, and I see it in nursery in magazines where it's shown as this low maintenance ground cover. Yeah, that's certainly true.
That's right. I'll be bringing some of that Dicentra, though, because I am trying to get rid of this one big patch of it. But for somebody who really wants a ground cover to go everywhere, this is the thing. However, you need to know that it will go everywhere, and if that's what you want, well, you know. But
yeah, I was going to say, sometimes you have isolated spots where you aren't really planning on planting anything else, but it's contained by some walkways or a sidewalk or something. They can be really nice in certain spots.
Sure. Okay. And again, for some of those places underneath spruces and hemlocks, which is difficult to grow much else, blueberries maybe, but some of that is fine where you can let it go. And like I say, if it has some edges that it won't cross, we can hope. You're fine to put it in there, and just knowing its habits.
Okay. This sounds like a fun event. Now, you have an event, Ed, on Saturday in Juneau, which I keep saying I'm going to go up there for that one of these days. Not this year, but maybe next year I can get there. It's a huge plant sale, right?
It is. This is, and it's fairly traditional. This is the big Saturday before Mother's Day plant sale. The Juneau Garden Club started it, and we've been trying to find out when was the first one, and I haven't been able to find out. I know when I moved to Juneau in 92, the spring of 93, I attended the, you know, my first one, and it was quite the, and then it was just the Garden Club was doing it, and they would have these tables at a lady's house on her driveway. And pretty much all the, and people brought, garden club members, dug up, divided, and potted lots of plants from their gardens. And there was some really wonderful stuff, and there was some invasive stuff, and kind of everything in between. And there, again, there could be raspberries and rhubarb and all that sort of thing, too. But they did try to lay things out on these different tables so that there was a pretty good assortment, and you could walk around, but you couldn't touch. It was the sort of thing you could look and you could scout, but it wasn't, it opened promptly at 9. I mean, they didn't quite shoot off the gun, but it was, and so people would just stand next to their most wanted plant, essentially, and, you know, it was let the sale begin, and there it was, this mad dash of, you know, grabbing and tugging and stuff. And then it kind of evolved into a bigger thing, and we moved it over to the Safeway parking lot. So now the Garden Club, the Juneau Garden Club, the Juneau the Master Gardeners, Jensen Olsen Arboretum, the 4-H, all have their own sales of various stuff, from bare root trees and shrubs to different perennials, started bedding plants, berry bushes. And then there's several of us for-profit groups which also sell stuff, local divisions plus stuff we've brought in. So it is, and it, but it's still, we're strict about not starting till 9 o'clock. People can go around and do their scouting. But it's quite the big, it is a social event, to be sure. And folks show up there with their wagons and their helpers to tote away their booty. It's handy there at the supermarket. People bring their, bring carts, you know, shopping carts out and fill up their shopping carts with plants, too. So all of it works out well. It is, yeah, that first hour is definitely a madhouse. So if you actually want to talk to people about what some of this is, or, you know, will this grow well in my yard, or what conditions does it take, you may, the gardeners have to stand around or wait around a little bit to try to catch one of the local folks who have been growing this stuff for years. So it is a great time where, again, just like at your place down there in Petersburg, hopefully, folks are bringing this stuff who have grown it and have local expertise, because there's lots of newcomers, too, who want to learn about gardening and will this grow in my yard, or where are you growing this already that it's doing so well?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, this sounds like a great event, and maybe maybe it'll end up being a yearly thing before Mother's Day. Never know.
It would be a good idea to try to start.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, potentially it can be a fundraiser. So the way this ours works, the nonprofits all sell their own stuff, and us retail people, we contribute a percentage of our sales, to which is then divided up by the nonprofits. So they can do that. I know in some places in Sitka and Wrangell, and I thought Petersburg, even if I vaguely remember when I lived there, there was something, either a benefit for one of the churches, perhaps, that folks donated plants, or the church members donated stuff and or brought things in, and then, you know, for a worthy charity of some sort.
Uh-huh.
So I know there's some of that happens, too. There's other plant sales that will happen in Juneau of that kind of thing that are fundraisers.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Christine, can you join us for a little bit longer?
Yeah, I can
Great.
Stay for a little bit.
Well, yeah. I think we had talked a little bit about talking about tree planting today, Ed. But before we do that, it looks like we do have a caller, so I'm going to take the caller on line one. Welcome to In the Garden.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have a question about transplanting some berry bushes. I got a neighbor that's got some blackberries that don't make any suckers like roses or raspberries, and I was wondering what the proper way to steal some of his berries were.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, that sounds very interesting. You see, now, true blackberries, and are they spiny or not spiny?
Not spiny.
Thorny. Really?
No spines.
I'm not, without seeing it, it's hard to be sure, but one of the other ways some of the berry bush, the rubus, the different brambles are propagated, some of them will tip root. So you could take, well, now, essentially, or later in the summer with the new growth, you can bend plants down to the ground, or you can actually just have some pots with some potting soil in them, and bend the tip down to the pot and put either something like a hairpin or a rock or something to hold it in the soil. And, you know, they may, again, depending on the variety, these may root also. And certainly that's a choice. But you said they do not sucker. They do not send out runners around them.
No, these are quite old plants. They've been there quite a long time.
Huh?
And they look pretty ancient, and they're pretty big and thick, but they are not crawling all over the lawn. It's only got lawn around it. Maybe the sod is too thick for them.
Are the plants big enough? Could you potentially divide the plants? In other words, cut down into the middle of the plant, or cut into the edge of it, I suppose, and see if you can get if there's some shoots with a little piece of root attached. That you can do that with rose bushes, and you can do that with other kinds of stuff too. And even things like currants and gooseberries. You can do kind of the same thing if they have multiple stems, if there's a bunch of stems coming up out of this clump of a crown.
Yeah, there is a bunch of stems, but they look quite old and they're quite high. They're head high almost and tumbling over and very thick. It's multiple thick stems, and they're thumb or bigger.
Sure. Another way that you could also try to propagate them is, again, with new wood. Once you get new shoots coming up out of them, say in mid-June or so, cut some of those off, say 6-inch long stems, so they'll be fairly quite green with leaves on them, and try rooting those. You know, just like you would something else, use a little bit of rooting hormone, clip most of the leaves off. Say there's three or four leaves, five leaves on this tip shoot that you have. Take off all but about two leaves, dip them in some rooting hormone, and then again put them into pots of potting soil and see if those will root. So again, for propagating. And the other thing, I would be interested in just seeing, if Mindy, you or potentially could get Mindy to get a picture to her that she could share or email to me. I would like to see these just for my own curiosity, see what these are.
Sure, yeah. You can email a picture to me at mindy@kfsk.org, or just bring it by the station and I can maybe take a picture of it or scan it or something.
Sure, I can do that, I think. It's not here in town, but I'll get it and bring it to you.
Okay.
I had some of those little plastic rooting pots that you could bend something down and or put the put on the branch, I guess, and with some dirt in it, that
sure,
those
yep.
work too, huh?
Right. There's another way. Yeah, there's another way that you could potentially do that, and I've seen those. And it seemed like you can take some sphagnum moss and put it inside those.
Oh, okay. Instead of dirt?
Right. Instead of soil. Yeah, actually put some... So you lightly scrape the bark
of
the stem where you're going to put this on. Take some moss, you know, out of your backyard or whatever, and then put it in that little thing. You can even use... Just grab a plastic bag or some saran wrap. Same thing. And you just wrap around the moss on the stem and just put some twine to hold it on. And again, you may very well see roots growing in that moss by late summer. So you try it right now. And
how long does it take to before you could snip it off? And
well, that's a good question. I would say check, say by say late August or something like that. Check and see if there's roots in there.
If there are roots,
then I would say you should be able to clip it off and just go ahead and plant them. Whether you plant them in pots or if you've got a bed that you're going to make for them and have ready for it. So give that a try.
So planting it in August and with fall and winter coming close behind is not, we shouldn't try to keep it in pots and inside for the first winter?
Well, yeah, not inside, normally not inside for the winter unless you just have a cold, just a cold storage place. So having them in the ground or otherwise, even if you have them in pots, just partially bury the pots or throw mulch around the pots so that they don't go through the severe freezing thawing action of the winter, because that can kill a lot of stuff if they're just sitting on top of, on the surface of the soil. So
yeah.
Just baby them a bit and protect them a bit for the winter, even if they are still in pots.
Yeah. Okay. We'll give it a try and let you know.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds
Thank
good.
You.
Thank you
and
for
I
calling.
I use basically the same technique for the rooting in pots with kiwis. So the kiwi vines root themselves quite easily. So you just bend them down, stick a rock on them, and by the end of the summer, there's usually some roots growing in them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Lilacs, you use this system too, don't you?
They can do that for lilacs. Lilacs are pretty easy to root. And again, so you can do them with hardwood cuttings. Just take cuttings in either in the fall or early spring and dip them in the rooting hormone. You could bend them down, or you can take the young, they call it greenwood or new wood cuttings, and root those in the summertime. So, yeah, there's lots and lots of ways of propagating, and, you can go online and look up different propagating methods. I'm sure there's books in the library that have plant propagation tips in them, too.
Sure, sure. It seems... blackberries are so crazy spreading. You sounded as if you thought it odd that these weren't spreading.
Yes, yes. Well, that is a different variety. I know I got some true blackberries from Dave Sneed, Farmer Dave, who brought some back. He said from Farm Island there in the mouth of the Stikine, and they don't have much spines. They do make good blackberries. Good fruits, but boy, they do spread underground fast. I mean, they'll run 2 to 3 feet a year. So if these are the right stuff, be definitely worth propagating.
Okay, we'll let you know. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you, caller. Okay, well, before we head out, we've got some music coming up, but really quick, Ed, talking about tree planting. Let's do a quick talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Ideally, and what we're going to have at the plant sale here, other than there are certainly trees in pots already, and so those are convenient, of course, although you need to, really the critical thing, prepare the place where you're going to plant these. So it's all about having good soil to start with. So you want good drainage for most of these, except for maybe willows or dogwoods, which can tolerate quite wet conditions. But if you're growing, say, maple trees or fruit trees, And it, ideally, if you can get bare root trees, bare root dormant trees, which we, you know, they can ship up to us in boxes or in mail, those are nice because they are ready to grow. They are, of course, they're lightweight, and you don't have to dig such a large hole to get them into the ground. And they very quickly, we hope, get acclimated to our conditions. So look at the size. You're holding this tree up in front of you that has roots that may be 18 inches across. So your hole should be that wide, plus a little wider, and loosen up the soil around it. Now, again, trees don't grow very deep around here. Not in Petersburg. Anywhere in southeast Alaska, you go down more than 2 or 3 feet deep, you're liable to hit water, or at the very least, very soggy soil and cold soil. And so the trees are going to be active near the surface because they need oxygen from the air that comes down through the soil. The roots do. So again, you're not digging a deep hole. You're not digging 3 feet deep for these trees unless they're in a pot that's really that deep. And usually you're better off making a bit of a raised mound. So if you kind of, if it's in your yard, and you dig out a bit of a shallow hole, say the root system is 12 inches from the bottom of the trunk to the bottom of the roots. So dig that hole maybe 8 or 9 inches deep. Excuse me. And have your soil that you took out, plus a little bit of compost that you may mix with it, or a little bit of sand if it's really muskeggy soil. Maybe you've already mixed in some extra sand there. And set that tree on or in the hole. Gently sprinkle the soil in, fill it up as you go that you've mixed. Water it, of course. And it, especially if it's a very large tree, it's going to need stakes to support it against the wind and against the kids running through when the dog's running past. And you may want to put a bit of a tree guard, which for me, I use a piece of just black plastic drain pipe, the corrugated stuff, or something similar, a foot long, slit the size of it, so something like 4-inch drain pipe, and you snap it around the base of the tree, which helps protect it from the dreaded weed whacker disease, depending on who your lawn care technician happens to be, so they aren't tempted to go to buzz up around it to knock the weeds down around it.
Hey, Ed, I have a question about what happens, okay, with some little trees you planted and they're kind of leaning over. What can we do? These are trees we planted actually at the school a couple years ago. They're kind of leaning over a little bit, or one of them is. How can we get it back to where it needs to be? Do you put a stake and tie something around it and kind of gently pull it that way and hope that it's going to work its way back to a straight tree?
You can do that. If the tree is still flexible enough, yes. So tie it on the direction you want to pull it over to be more upright. Look at why is the tree leaning. I mean, is it just leaning because somebody pushed into it and pushed it over? Or is it leaning toward the sun, the light? If there's lots of big trees to the north side of it or to the west side or to the east side of it, then very often the new trees you plant are going to lean toward the light, where whatever direction the most light is coming from. So staking it will help. But again, if you've got those big dark trees on that side, then it's going to keep trying to grow in the direction toward the light. If it gets to be a larger tree and maybe is too stiff to want to straighten up, what you can also do is on the side that it's leaning toward, if it's leaning to the southeast perhaps, you can go in with your shovel or shovels, maybe a couple of them, and dig down around there and actually lift that side up to straighten the tree and pack some more soil in around it, underneath there, to to reposition the tree more straight, more vertical that you may want. And again, you will probably need to stake it. Use some, it would be 2x2 wooden stakes. The key thing also when staking, if you're using, I've got this kind of nice, it's about 3/4-inch nylon strapping that I use. It's soft, doesn't cut into the tree. But I still use kind of a big loop around the tree with plenty of room so the tree won't be girdled as it grows up. If you use some wire and a piece of hose with the wire through it around the tree, again, make sure that it's loose enough. And normally, a tree will be, you can take the stakes off normally after 2 years at most, except on, or unless you have some really dwarf, like dwarf apple trees and stuff, do need to be staked pretty much their whole life. And for that, sometimes you'll actually put in something like a steel stake just, you know, just a few inches away from the tree and, again, gently have it tied to that stake. So staking is important, but I've seen a whole lot of trees that have been girdled by wires and ropes and other things that have been used to tie the tree up and then didn't remove them at the right time. And the tree gets, you know, the wires or the ropes cut into the tree as it grows up.
Okay, Ed. Well, I think we should talk more about trees next week, especially with Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. And I know there'll be a lot of people out purchasing trees around town and shrubs. So maybe we can come back to this next week and talk about that, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people planting trees and shrubs next week and the following week after Mother's Day. What do you think?
Well, I certainly hope so, for my own sake, as well as for folks in Petersburg and elsewhere that are listening. So it is a great time of year. Soil is cool. Soil is moist right now. You know, kind of breezy at the moment. But, again, that way we don't have to worry quite so much about the hot, dry weather, although there is some good weather predicted for next week, I certainly hope.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, and we'll take a look at the tree there at the school. I, you know, there was some construction going on and all of that around the school, the whole outside of the school, and I think there might have been some things leaning up against it because of the construction. They did their best to, you know, not hurt some of the trees around there and shrubs, but it was pretty hard with all of that building material sitting around, and that might be part of the issue. So maybe we can pull that tree back and, you know, upright.
And one more thing to take note of, to think about, is try to keep the weeds and grass and other stuff away from the tree. You know, don't let that stuff grow around it. So whether you're planting a new tree or if you have an existing tree, and again, you don't want to get the weed whacker too close to clip away, if we can, you know, I like using some cardboard around the tree to keep the weeds down and then put bark mulch on top of that, which will gradually break down. It benefits the trees, but it also keeps the weeds from growing. So that competition, stealing the tree's nutrients, you don't want that to establish a new tree, but even for the long run, that's good for the health of the tree. Just don't make sure you keep the bark mulch and cardboard at least a couple of inches away from the trunk of the tree. You don't want to pile it right up against it because that can hold too much moisture against the tree trunk. And that's not good for them. You may still have to do some hand weeding right up next to the trunk.
All right. Ed, thank you so much, and good luck with your plant sale this weekend. And we're going to have a good time at the school and community garden on Saturday, 10 to noon. It's a plant and seed exchange, not for sale, but exchange. So everyone, hope you can join us.
Yeah, and I've had several people that have mentioned that if you don't have plants to bring in and trade, go ahead and come by. There may be plenty that people are offering up for free.
Sure. All right. Thank you, Ed. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Look forward to it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yep.
There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer, all winter.
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, Mothers Love Flowers. Open for Mother's Day 10 to 5 with Mother's Day hanging baskets, flower bags, and bedding plants. It's always sunny in the greenhouses at the Flower Farm. Open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
Well, you can go out to eat. nothing the homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Thanks for joining us today. Coming up next, High Country Music with Melina Marvin. Have a great afternoon.